David. Tom's eyes flashed, anger and hate and fear all turbulently mixed.
And what about you?
Max gripped the end of his cane. What about me? I love her. More than... He found himself swallowing the lump of emotion back down. I love her too much to let that animal terrorize her another minute. If something happens to me, make sure you tell her none of the legalities matter. Tell her I would have done anything to have even one more day with her. Can you remember that? Tom stared at him another long second, then shook his head and pulled on the handle of the door, stopping when David's arms banded around him, holding him. Irritated, Tom tried to shrug David away, but David held tight.
Let go of me. That's my mother in there.
Max reached over the seat, trapping Tom's jaw between his thumb and forefinger until the boy settled and met his gaze. Do you honestly think you can persuade him to let her go? Think again, Tom. He's killed. He will not simply give her up because you show up and demand it. What he'll do is use you to make your mother do whatever he wants. Knowing you're safely hidden away on your camping trip is the only thing she has to keep her going right now. Don't give him another pawn to use against her. He squeezed Tom's jaw. Do you promise? Tom's eyes raged as they held fast to Max's, but in the end he gave a curt nod.
I promise.
Max, wait. Max paused, his hand on the door handle. He looked back at David's worried face. I'll go, David said, his arms still holding Tom, but more loosely now. For support instead of restraint. The ground is rough. Max felt his heart turn over. His baby brother coming to his rescue yet another time. Thanks, David. But this is my battle to fight. Caroline is mine. I need to get her back. Winters looked down at her, rage making his every muscle shake. A thin stream of blood ran from her lower lip down her chin. He'd teach her. He would. She was his wife, God damn it. She was to obey him, to follow his orders. His hand trembled, and he shoved it in his pocket and looked away from those eyes of hers. They were the eyes of a stranger, not of his wife. They defied him, were not afraid of him. He looked away, anger making him clench his fists. He couldn't look down at himself, couldn't face the fact that he couldn't. For the first time in his life, he couldn't. It was all her fault. He'd been hard, ready to pound into her, ready to punish her for making him look like a fool, for stealing his boy away, ready to take what was legally his, rightfully his, morally his. Then she'd looked at him with contempt, icy, bitter contempt. And then he couldn't. He'd taken some measure of revenge on her ugly face. No wonder he couldn't. It was his body's way of telling him she was way too ugly. She always had been. A sound emerged from her, and he yanked his eyes back to her face. Her lips were curved, even as her blood trickled down. She was laughing at him. His fists clenched, and he drew one back, only to see the laughter fade. Her blue eyes flicker with triumph. He lowered his fist, narrowed his eyes. The bitch had lost her mind. She was encouraging him to hit her, encouraging him to mark her face with his fists. To mark her face. Realization pricked at him, and with it, a contempt for his own carelessness. She looked at him. Eyebrows raised over eyes he'd blackened with his fists. Her jaw was one big black bruise, her upper lip fat and crusted with blood, her lower lip still bleeding. It would be at least a week before he could take her out in public. At least a week before she could set the record straight and get Ross off his butt. God damn it. What was he thinking anyway, pummeling her face like that? He drew a breath and let it out slowly. He had to stay in control. Control and cunning. That's what made him untouchable by Ross and her petty investigations. He'd left behind no evidence that could connect him to any of the bodies he'd left behind, even if anybody got smart enough to look, which they wouldn't. He'd used a condom with Evie Wilson. He'd picked a hooker nobody'd miss, and nobody saw him with the old man. As for the others, he made himself shrug, drawing reassurance from the gesture. Nobody could ever know. Nobody would even guess he'd tossed Susan What's-Her-Name off the bridge into the Tar River. Crenshaw. It was Susan Crenshaw. He couldn't forget the details. Remembering the details was what made him better than Ross. Remembering the details was what would bring his boy back to him and get Mary Grace the punishment she deserved. She was watching him, her eyes following his every movement. He would not allow her to shake him, to make him lose sight of his goal. He wouldn't play her game. She'd play his. She'd lose. He'd win. He always won. "You may think you're pretty smart, Mary Grace," he said with an easy smile which broadened when her careful, contemptuous stare was shaken just a bit. "But I'm smarter. Don't you forget that. I have to go into town. I'll be gone a while." He reached in his jacket pocket and pulled out the dwindling ball of twine. "Hands up." He threw her a mocking smile. "Please." Caroline refused to look at the flimsy door that separated the dirty bedroom from the dirtier front room. She needed to keep him here, keep him distracted so little Nicky would have the best chance of getting away. She hoped Nicky was an obedient child as well as brave. She hoped he was out and walking, like she'd told him to do. Rob had figured out, finally, that beating her face was counter to his immediate goal. Frankly, he'd figured it out faster than she'd thought. She mustn't underestimate him. It could get her killed. It could get Nicky killed. It could get Tom a lifetime sentence with a brutal, sadistic monster.
"No."
Her voice was hoarse from lack of use and lack of water. She clenched her hands and held them, knowing full well she could buy herself 5 or 10 seconds tops. Rob yanked her hands together. 5 seconds, then. The twine bit deep into her raw flesh. She bit down to control the wince. At least he hadn't raped her. Not yet. She'd bought herself a little time. He threw her back down on the dirty mattress, and dust rose in a thin cloud, then settled again.
"You won't succeed, you know,"
she said as he took a step toward the door.
"That cop, Ross, she's on to you. The Chicago cops will know you've kidnapped me."
She prayed she was right about that, that someone would find one of the notes she'd left behind in the dirty toilets they'd used on their journey from Chicago. Rob's eyes flared. "The Chicago cops couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. And as for Ross, she won't be around much longer." Caroline swallowed, working enough moisture into her mouth to keep from sounding like a pitiful frog.
"That's good, Rob. Very good. The Chicago police are all blithering idiots because you say so, and you'll kill Ross to get her out of your way? I'm glad you think the world will operate according to your specifications."
She managed a tone of biting sarcasm despite the soreness in her throat.
"You can kill them all, but that won't get you a single inch closer to my son."
That did it. His face turned a florid red, and one fist clenched as the other grasped her by the collar and lifted her up off the bed.
"You little bitch! You conniving whore! He's my son! My son! And you'll pay for stealing him from me!"
He dragged her to a straight-back chair and shoved her into it. She stumbled, her hands and feet still bound. He lifted her bound hands over the back of the chair and roughly pushed them down until a whimper escaped from her throat at the pain in her shoulders.
"You think you're so smart, what with your university classes and your fancy degree?"
He grabbed her shoulders and shook her, hard. He shook her until her ears roared and her head ached with new pain, until her very teeth rattled in her head. Then he stopped and laughed. Caroline's blood ran cold despite her efforts at bravado. His hands came up and covered her nose and mouth. Instinct and self-preservation made her struggle to breathe, but he pulled her head back against his chest, pinning her in place, cutting off her air.
"Don't try to play with me, Mary Grace," he crooned in her ear. "You won't like my rules, I can guarantee it."
He pulled her against him, the back of her head against the hard wall of his chest, reminding her how strong and massive he was. She struggled to stay calm, but the room started to sway, and bright lights started to twinkle before her eyes. Then he released her, and she gulped the air in.
"You'll do what I say. You'll find a way to give me back my son. You'll find a way to undo all the damage you've done."
He trailed his fingertips down the side of her neck.
"Just think, we'll be a family again."
His voice was mocking her.
"We'll go on picnics and play Scrabble on Wednesdays."
He tightened his hold on her mouth and nose again, and this time she struggled, trying to wiggle free, desperately trying for a single breath. Just when the lights started to twinkle, he let her go again. She fell back, gasping like a drowning survivor. He tapped her chin with his forefinger, still behind her.
"No marks, Mary Grace. I can do this over and over and over and not leave a single mark on your skin."
"You'll agree to tell the police and everyone else that you stole my son and you've been an unfit mother?"
"No,"
Caroline spat the word.
"Not as long as I still breathe. And if you kill me, you'll never get Tom to believe you."
His hands closed around her neck.
"Robbie. His name is Robbie."
Something deep inside drove her to push, to taunt him harder still.
"His name is Tom. He'll never be Robbie again, no matter what you do to me. He hates you. He loathes you."
Caroline sucked in a breath, wondering when the hands would tighten around her neck.
"He will never, never be your son again. You forfeited any rights you have."
His hands tightened, but she could still breathe, barely.
"I am his father. Any court will recognize my right to full custody."
"Before or after they convict you for kidnapping and assault?"
He tightened his grip, and Caroline gagged, then gasped when he loosened it once again.
"They won't charge me for anything,"
he said smoothly right into her ear.
"You contacted me, and I met you in Chicago. You missed me. You felt guilty for all these years apart. You asked me to forgive you for the whore's life you led all these years. I forgave you."
Minor pressure on her windpipe had her gasping again.
"Because I love you so, Mary Grace," he continued. "You came with me willingly. You wanted to have a second honeymoon."
Caroline almost defied him to explain away the little boy he'd kidnapped, but stopped herself just in time. Rob seemed to forget about Nikki from time to time. Now, back when he found her by the window and when he'd grabbed her from the back of the van when they'd first arrived. He'd almost left Nikki all alone in the back of the van. If Nikki had gotten away, she didn't want to be drawing attention to him now.
"I never had a first honeymoon,"
Caroline replied, steadfastly refusing to look at the door. His hands covered her mouth and nose again,
You think you're so smart. But you keep forgetting that I'm smarter.
He jerked her head backwards, and the room spun. Her lungs were burning, on fire. Then he leaned forward and whispered in her ear. Two words, a number and a name. And her control splintered. Her resolve shattered.
Rob knew the address of Hanover House.
Max walked to the east side of the cabin, leaning heavily on his cane. The ground was soft. It had rained here recently. His cane kept getting stuck in red mud. Finally, he reached the side of the cabin, and he leaned up against it, listening at the window. He could hear a voice, one male voice, harsh and loud. He inched closer, close enough to peer in the window. His heart stopped. There she was, her back to him, tied to a chair. Bile rose in his throat. Then the fear set in. A man came into view, his mouth moving, his expression rabid. Winters. Max watched in frozen horror as Winters put his hands around Caroline's neck. He could see the revolver stuck in Winters's waistband. Max carried no gun. Where the hell was Lambert? Max watched as Caroline shook her head, and though he listened, he couldn't hear her voice. Winters's big hands tightened around Caroline's neck. He was choking her. The bastard had tied her and was now choking her to death. His mind raced as he thought of a solution that wouldn't put Caroline in greater danger. Suddenly Winters leaned closer, and Max reached for the window. He could think of nothing more than to charge, to break every bone in the bastard's hands for touching one hair on her head. Max stopped, mid-motion. Winters was speaking again, his hands covering her mouth. He was suffocating her. In agony, Max stood watching, knowing a small sound could signal Winters to pull a gun out and use it. Max watched and listened, hoping to catch him by surprise.
Hanover House, Winters was saying, and Max's heart contracted. Winters knew about the shelter. Nice place, I'm told. Who's the director again? Dana, that's her name. Great legs. Bet she'll ride like a champion.
His lip curled when Caroline struggled against him to no possible avail.
Didn't like that? I guarantee she won't either. She'll think twice before helping any more women take children from their fathers. Hanover House. Yeah, that piece of information will be of reasonably high value to every husband in the place.
He released Caroline's mouth, and her head lolled back, and Max could see her gasping for air. Winters again put his hands around her throat.
Imagine, Gracie, darling. Every one of those mothers, kids, they think they're safe. Do you want to live with that on your conscience?
Max watched her shake her head so wearily.
So you'll cooperate?
Caroline felt her body sag. She was so tired. Could she obey him? Could she tell the world he'd never touched her? How could she not? She'd be risking Hanover House, where innocent women and their children huddled in fear of monsters just like Rob Winters. She couldn't allow him access to Hanover House. It had to remain secret, protected above all else, above her own safety, her own life. She hesitated, wrestling with her thoughts, with her innermost values, when he covered her nose and mouth, and the room began to twinkle once again. Yes, the occupants of Hanover House were to be protected even above Tom's life. She prayed her son would understand, that he'd find sanctuary with one of the many friends they'd made over the years. She prayed Tom could forgive her someday. Finally she nodded, and Rob released his hands.
"Your word?"
he asked, his voice despicably triumphant. She nodded, too exhausted to even gasp for air. She breathed slowly, heard her lungs wheeze as the air seeped in and out. Rob dropped her head, and it fell forward like a puppet on a severed string. He'd won. Nausea rolled in her stomach, and she fought back the bile that threatened to suffocate her from the inside. "Say it out loud, Mary Grace," he demanded, coming around to face her. "You will cooperate with me. You will obey me." Her mouth opened, formed the word, but no sound emerged. He grabbed her head, pressing her skull between his big hands. The pressure was almost too painful to bear. "Out loud, Mary Grace," he gritted. "I want to hear it from your lying, deceitful mouth." She opened her mouth again, a whimper, the only sound she could muster. A loud shout shattered the mountain silence, and in one movement, Rob released her head and whirled around to the sound.
"Winters, I know you're in there. Send my son out, unhurt, now!"
Caroline opened her eyes and saw Rob reach for his gun even as his face paled. "Thatcher," he muttered, "you son of a bitch." Chapter 24.
"Stephen, damn it!"
Tony rushed up behind him as he stood in the cabin's front yard, still quivering from his shouted challenge.
"What the hell do you think you're doing?"
"Getting my son back," Stephen said loudly.
Tony grabbed him and hauled him back toward the trees.
"This isn't how to do it, Stephen. Do you want him to hurt Nikki? What are you thinking?"
Stephen hung his head, trying to control the frantic beating of his heart.
"I'm thinking about my son inside that cabin."
Desperation clawed at his insides. So close, his baby was so close, 20 feet away.
"I'm thinking about what Winters is doing every minute my son is in there."
His voice shook.
"Oh, God, Tony, he's got my baby in there, and I don't even know if he's still alive."
Tony squeezed his shoulder painfully, and Stephen's head shot up, his eyes blinking in surprise. She was staring at him, a cool determination in her eyes.
"Get a grip on yourself, Stephen."
She looked over to where Detective Crowley was canvassing the wooded area to the far left of the cabin, then checked her watch.
"Where the hell is that hostage negotiator?"
She scanned the trees.
"And where the hell is Jonathan?"
"And Hunter," Crowley added, coming up behind them.
"He's in a car,"
Tony said, keeping her eyes on the cabin.
"With the boy."
"No, that's David, the brother. I found footprints and depressions of a cane in the mud around the side of the house. Max Hunter is in the house."
Tony breathed out a sigh.
Shit.
He was in. His hip ached from climbing over the windowsill, but he was in. And he wasn't leaving without Caroline. Gritting his teeth, Max swung his better leg over the windowsill, paused, and pulled the other in behind him, making a soft thud as his feet hit the floor and he regained his balance. Caroline jerked to see behind her, unsuccessfully. In 2 seconds, Max was behind her and smoothed a gentle hand over her hair, felt her start of fear at his touch, and damned Rob Winters to a violent and painful hell. He knelt on the floor and leaned forward, even as he pulled a pocket knife from his pants pocket.
"I'm here. I love you,"
he breathed into her ear, and she sagged back against the chair, letting her head rest against his. He made short work of the twine binding her wrists, and she flopped to one side. He caught her in one arm and used the other to cut at the twine binding her ankles, then looked up at her face. His stomach pitched. He had to fight the urge to gag. The hand holding the pocket knife fisted, holding the knife as he might a dagger, for a moment visualizing cutting Winters' heart out of his broken, bleeding body. Her face. He'd bruised and bloodied her. He'd scratched and cut her. He hurt her.
"Oh, God."
"Caroline,"
he whispered, his heart in his throat. She closed her eyes, but not before he saw the shame there.
I'm sorry,
she mouthed, unable to force the words from her sore throat. Rage burned, so intense he had to shut his eyes against the strength of it.
You're still beautiful,
he whispered, lightly brushing his fingertips against an unbruised area at her temple.
I love you.
She fell forward, letting him take her weight. Still on his knees, he wrapped his arms around her and eased her to the floor. Her hand, her poor abused hand, reached up and clasped his neck, pulling him down so that his ear touched her mouth.
Tom?
He's fine. David's got him.
Relief shuddered through her body. She pulled him down again.
No phones here. We can't call for help.
Max shook his head.
Don't worry. I brought a police detective with me.
Her shoulders sagged in relief.
Thank you.
She tried to smile, then winced in pain.
Winters was a dead man. Max wasn't sure how, but he was sure.
He drew a breath, not sure if he wanted to hear the answer to his next question.
Did he
stopped. Caroline shook her head, only a few inches in each direction.
He tried. He couldn't.
The wave of relief nearly knocked him over.
Can you walk?
He whispered. She drew a breath and worked her fingers to get the circulation moving.
My feet,
she whispered.
They've been tied since yesterday.
Max took one foot and began to massage it vigorously.
We need to hurry.
Max.
He looked up, still working her foot.
What, sweetheart?
The little boy, Nicky. Is he okay?
Max shook his head and took her other foot.
I don't know, Caroline. Detective Lambert thought he was still in here.
I can't leave him here, Max,
she whispered. When he looked up, her eyes were clear and resolute.
He's just a baby. He's not more than six.
Max sighed and continued working her circulation.
Let's get you out of here and then I'll worry about Nicky.
She grabbed his hand, stilling him from his task.
Do you promise? I have to know he's safe.
Max met her eyes. No longer did he see shame, but the strength of purpose Dana had described. Here was the woman that ran for her very life to save her own child. She couldn't leave another. She wouldn't be Caroline if she could.
I promise, sweetheart. Now we need to hurry.
Damn it, get down!
Tony's warning came a split second after splintered bark came showering down on Stephen's head. He hunkered down, a skinny tree his only shield.
He's escalated this thing, Stephen,
Tony muttered, hunkered down beside him. She eased herself to her stomach and pulled her gun from her shoulder holster.
Thanks for telling him we're here,
she added sarcastically. Stephen followed her lead, laying himself prostrate on the ground. She was right. She was absolutely 100% right. He'd fucked up, and his son and an innocent woman might suffer.
I'm sorry, Tony,
he said, his humility sincere.
You're right. What should we do next?
Tony lifted her head a fraction of an inch and glared at him.
We, as in you and me, do nothing. I'll attempt to talk him out. God help me if he knows about the riots downtown. If he does, we could be talking about dealing with his demands of safe passage out of the country.
Tony sighed quietly.
And you know we won't do that, don't you, Stephen?
Stephen nodded dully, his head like lead on the end of his neck.
I know.
He laid his head down and felt a rock piercing his cheek, but he didn't care.
What was I thinking, Tony?
She patted his back.
You weren't. You were a desperate father reacting. This is my fault. I should have left you behind.
I thought I could handle it. My God, what would his failure cost him? What if Nicky never came out of there?
A wave of fear washed over him, so strong his whole body shook.
"We all think we can handle it until it hits too close to home."
Tony glanced over her shoulder.
"Jim?"
Stephen shifted to find Crowley crouched behind a nearby tree, his hands holding his rifle steadily, without a tremble. His face was hard, but his eyes were filled with understanding. "I'll cover you, Tony."
"You got your jacket on, Jim?"
"Yes'm. You?"
"Yes."
Tony shifted her weight to her knees, careful to stay behind the tree.
"Winters, can you hear me?"
Another shot rang out and more bark showered down. Tony wrenched her body back down to lie flat on the ground.
"He can hear me. Jim, get me the bullhorn. I'm not standing up again."
Jim tossed it over, and Tony resettled her body on the muddy ground, the bullhorn in one hand.
"Rob, listen to me."
The booming sound filled the air, and Stephen tensed, waiting for the next bullet to strike the tree. The last one had hit less than 2 feet off the ground. Winters wasn't warning them. He was shooting to kill. He'd already killed a cop this morning. Gary Jacobs, the officer guarding his home, his family. Winters would kill the rest of them without a second thought.
"I know you have the Thatcher boy,"
Tony continued, her voice as soothing as possible coming out of the bullhorn.
"You know as well as I do that you'll gain nothing by holding the boy. Let him go, Rob, and your wife. You know I can make this easier for you if you cooperate with us."
"Go to hell, Ross."
The answer was accompanied by another sharp crack, still closer this time, and another shower of bark.
"Next time I won't aim for the damn tree. I want all of you gone in the next 5 minutes or the boy gets the next one."
Fear and anger swirled together in Stephen's mind, and all he could see was his baby, huddling in a corner of that cabin, afraid.
"Nicky,"
he heard himself whisper, his voice harsh and hoarse. Tony's hand pushed down on his back, but he was caught once again in a wave of sheer terror. He was grabbed by a fear and a love so intense it pushed him up to his feet, and Tony's hand pulling at his jacket was surreal, a peripheral reality.
"I'm the one you want, Winters,"
he said loudly, his voice clear now.
"I'll come with you willingly if you let my son go."
The answering laugh was little more than a manic cackle.
"Come into the light," Winters called out. "Unarmed."
Without hesitation, Stephen pulled his weapon from its holster and tossed it forward, far enough ahead for Winters to see him comply, but close enough for Tony to grab it if the need arose. He was back in control, he thought, of his own actions, if nothing else. He took a step forward.
"I want to see my son, Winters. Show him to me."
He saw a shadow move behind the broken window, a glint of sunlight off metal just a second before. The crack filled his ears as the weight hit his chest, throwing him backward, sending a burning tingle from his heart to under his arm. It robbed him of breath, of balance. He heard Tony scramble on her belly towards him, but he motioned her back.
"Vest,"
he managed. Kevlar, state-issued, thank God. He'd have one hell of a bruise, but...
"Daddy! My daddy!"
The shrill cry burst out of the woods to the right of the cabin.
"Nicky!"
Stephen struggled to roll to his stomach and raise himself on his elbows, only to see his baby running from the woods, tears streaming down his dirty face, Jonathan Lambert on his heels. Lambert's shout seemed to echo across the little glen.
"Nicky, no!"
Nicky was halfway across the glen when the sound of breaking glass filled the air. A body launched itself from behind Stephen out past the cover of the trees, covering Nicky's body with his own as another shot shattered the air. An eerie quiet followed, every bird mute. Even the whisper of the wind seemed to fade. Tony's was the first voice to cut through the silence, shaken, panicked.
"Oh, God. Ben's down. Everybody move!"
Caroline could move, but just barely. At the first gunshot, Max pulled her to her feet and urged her forward, pulling her on swollen, tender feet. By the fourth, he'd pulled her to the window. He'd gathered his strength to lift her over the windowsill when the sound of the gun cocking stopped them both in their tracks. Max turned slowly and put his body in front of Caroline's. A big, hulking man stood in the doorway, a gun in his hand, his eyes cold. A muscle twitched in one cheek. So this was Rob Winters. So this was the face of a monster. For a moment no one spoke. Then Max said in a low voice, "Caroline, go." Winters's revolver was held straight at his heart. Steady and straight. "She's not going anywhere." "Caroline, sweetheart, go."
"I won't leave you with him."
Max gritted his teeth. "Caroline, don't argue with me now of all times. Go find Ross or Thatcher. Get help from the police." Rob chuckled, the sound sending shivers up and down Max's spine. "Thatcher's dead, and Ross seems to be busy cleaning up the mess I've made out there. So I guess I'm the only police available." He took a few steps closer, and Caroline struggled to get in front of Max. Max held her firmly in place, surprised by the amount of strength she still possessed. "You are the fucking devil," Max said coldly. "You can go to hell."
"And you're man enough to send me there?"
"Max, don't let him push you,"
Caroline pleaded from behind him, her voice louder now, but still harsh and broken.
"He'll kill you."
Rob tilted his head, putting on a sad face.
"Oh, Gracie, you spoiled my surprise."
He straightened and sobered.
"Get in the corner. Dr. Gimp and I have some business to discuss."
"Get out, Caroline," Max gritted through his teeth.
"Well, I can still protect you."
Rob laughed.
"Because he knows he won't go a full round with me."
Max abruptly changed his strategy, staring at the bastard impassively, hoping a lack of response would enrage him enough to make a foolish mistake. Max tried for bored, but knew with the fury burning within him that the best he could hope for was disdain. It worked. In the blink of an eye, Winters charged, and Max pushed Caroline out of the way, twisting from Winters's path just enough. Winters hit the open window, and for a brief moment hung, his upper body out the window, his lower body off balance, his feet not squarely on the floor. Max raised both hands and brought him down together against the small of his back. Winters's breath rushed out in a whoosh, and Max grabbed his beefy wrist with both hands. Years of clutching the wheels of wheelchairs and the handles of canes had given him above-average strength in his hands. His grip punishing, Winters's hand loosened its hold on the gun, and the gun fell to the muddy ground below the window. Max felt an electric current arc through his body. But his exhilaration was short-lived as Winters recovered, pushing himself from the window frame. In the next second, Max's head hit the wall as Winters's fist connected in a jolting uppercut.
"You son of a bitch!"
Rob snarled, hurling his body into Max's, sending both men to the floor. Max rolled to one side, escaping a kick to his ribs by inches. He glanced to the right to find Caroline crouched in the corner, her eyes wide, her body frozen.
"Caroline, run! Get out of—"
Winters's next blow hit him square in the ribs. Sucking in the pain, Max rolled to his knees. He managed to land a series of punches to Winters's jaw that sent the big man sprawling backwards. Max was taller, but Winters had two good legs and was bigger, built like a damn Mack truck. And like a truck, he picked himself up and rushed forward. Max had only a second to prepare for the assault before the full weight of Rob Winters hit him square in the gut. With a groan, Max felt his body crumple to the floor. Winters scrambled to his feet, breathing heavily. One booted foot caught Max in the small of the back.
"That's for sleeping with my goddamn wife!"
Instinctively, Max rolled to his side to protect his back, leaving his torso vulnerable. The next kick hit him in the shoulder, and he felt the pain explode and vibrate down his arm.
"That's for stealing my son!"
Rob straightened, panting. He propped his fists on his hips, arms akimbo. Max lay still, trying to block the pain, to plan his next move. He wasn't sure he could move. He watched Winters bend at the waist, his big hands fisted on his knees. The same hands that had put those bruises on Caroline's face. The same hands that had made her afraid again. Anger flared to life, and for the first time in his life, Max clearly understood the meaning of pure animal hate. Hate fueled his next move, and without thinking, he flung his body against Winters's knees, knocking the bigger man to his back. With a roar, Winters responded, rolling to straddle Max's body, his hands gripping Max's throat, his thumbs positioned to cut off Max's air supply. With a strangled gasp, Max struggled, but Winters had him pinned to the filthy floor. The room began to sway and swim. A hoarse voice rattled just behind him.
You bastard!
Caroline. Max forced his eyes open to find Caroline finally roused from her shocked paralysis, and to his horror, wrapping herself around Winters's back, trying to pull the big man off Max's body. Like she was no more than a bothersome insect, Winters swatted at her with one hand, and she flew 4 feet through the air to land against the wall directly below the window. Caroline staggered to her feet, her eyes drawn to the sight of Rob's hands around Max's throat.
"He's gonna kill him," she thought. "He's killing him. He's killing Max." "No!"
The cry burst from her throat, and she looked around the room, desperately searching for a weapon. Her eyes spotted Max's cane just under the bed, and a moment later it was in her hands.
"No!"
She brought the cane down against Rob's head. Crack! She felt the jarring impact all the way up her arms. She heard his angry curse through the rush of blood to her head.
"No!"
Breathing like there was no tomorrow, she lifted the cane and brought it down again. Crack!
"You bastard!"
Again, crack, and again, crack!
"You will not ruin my life."
Again, crack.
"You will not touch my son."
She was sobbing now, each blow straight from her heart.
"You will not touch me."
Crack, crack, crack. "Caroline, Caroline, stop. For God's sake, you're gonna kill him." Max's hand caught the cane mid-swing, and their eyes caught and held.
"It's over, Caroline,"
he said, in the gentlest voice he could muster.
"It's over."
It was over. Winters lay at their feet. He still breathed, but had ceased struggling with Max after the third blow. She'd hit him at least 4 times after that. It took that much time for Max to suck in enough air to refill his lungs and to struggle to his feet. In a flash of cognition, he suddenly knew he didn't want her to kill him, bastard though Winters truly was, down to the dark core of his being. Max didn't want Caroline to have to live with that for the rest of her life. Self-defense was one thing. The continued beating of an unconscious man was another. But she didn't look down. She didn't see Winters' bloodied head on the carpet. She didn't yet know what she had done. Her eyes were dazed, and reality had not yet intruded.
"You won't touch me,"
she whispered.
"You won't touch me."
She dropped the cane and wrapped her arms around her battered body, softly rocking herself.
"You won't touch me."
Her rhythmic whispers broke his heart. Max gathered her close, gently forcing her head to his uninjured shoulder.
"No, sweetheart. He'll never touch you again."
She stood in the circle of his arms, trembling, rocking, still hugging herself. He stroked her hair, dirty, matted, blood-encrusted. He stroked it as if it were the finest mink.
"I love you."
Still she stood, shell-shocked and withdrawn.
"Caroline, honey, look at me."
He tipped her chin up, looking for any sign of recognition in her eyes. He knew it when he saw it, and breathed a sigh of relief. She blinked slowly, and looked down.
Oh my God.
She looked back up at Max, her eyes wild now with fear.
I've killed him.
No, no, he soothed. He's not dead. He's breathing, see? Caroline lifted a weary hand to her forehead.
My head hurts.
He kissed the top of her head. I guess so.
You came.
You knew I would, he said softly, running his hands over her arms, trying not to hurt her, but desperately needing to touch her skin, reassure himself that she was alive, that he had her back. Caroline leaned into his strength. He was here. He was here, holding her. It was the thought that had kept her going. She breathed, taking in the scent of him, woodsy and warm.
Max.
Let the scent calm her galloping heart. She nodded, ignoring the little frissons of pain burning her cheek at the simple contact with his shirt.
I knew you would if you could. I didn't think you knew where I was, or that I was even gone.
Her voice trembled.
I thought I had to get away on my own.
Max spread his hands, so gently, across her back, trapping her against him. It hurt her back. But to deny herself the comfort of his touch would have hurt even more, so she said nothing, just absorbed him. You weren't alone, he murmured against her hair. You never have to be alone again, I promise.
Mom!
Caroline jerked her head to one side, appalled to find Tom standing in the doorway, his face pale and drawn. She raised her chin to frown at Max.
You said he was safe with David.
He was safe. Safe outside in the car with David. Max lowered Caroline to sit on the bed and limped to where Tom still stood, shock rendering him immobile. He took the boy's jaw between two fingers of his uninjured hand. Tom, listen to me. She's all right. He gave Tom's jaw a hard shake and watched the boy's eyes clear.
He's dead,
Tom whispered. No, he's not. Your mother didn't kill him, Max replied firmly, then stumbled as Tom pushed him backwards to drop to his knees beside the broken figure on the floor.
Tom!
Caroline pulled herself from the bed to the floor, dragged herself to Tom's side, just as her son grabbed handfuls of Winters' shirt and hauled the unconscious man off the floor.
Wake up! Tom snarled, shaking Winters' motionless body. Wake up so I can kill you myself!
He dropped one handful of shirt to deliver a grinding blow to Winters' jaw, hard enough to knock a conscious man to the floor. Winters fell backwards, a feeble groan coming from his swollen lips. Tom fell across Winters' body, punching his torso relentlessly while Caroline tried to pull him back. She might as well have been pulling a mountain.
Stop, Tom. Stop! Max, help me!
Max was there in that instant, having dragged his own body across the floor. He grabbed Tom's shoulders with both hands and yanked with all his strength. Suddenly another set of hands grabbed Tom around his waist and pulled him off Winters.
No, Tom.
It was David.
Not this way. Not his way.
Tom flew backwards, hitting Max full in the chest, and the two fell to the floor together. Tom fought wildly, fists flailing, feet kicking, but Max held his upper body in a hard embrace while David held his feet, and finally Tom stilled. David rolled to his back while Max hung over Tom, sweat dripping from his forehead onto Tom's face.
Jesus God, Tom!
From the corner of his eye, Max caught a flash of silver and lifted his head to find Lieutenant Ross standing in the doorway, her gun drawn. Her gaze quickly took in the room, stopping on the slumped and bleeding Winters. Then she met Max's eyes and nodded. Her gun dropped to her side, but her hand was still clenched and ready. For a moment, the only sound in the room was heavy breathing. Then Tom's chest heaved in a strangled sob. Caroline lightly pushed Max to the side and gathered Tom in her arms.
It's okay, honey. It's okay.
She rocked Tom in her arms, crooning reassurances.
I want him dead. Please, Mom. Please.
Tom's sobs were barely coherent.
Please, Mama. Me too, baby.
Caroline whispered, her rocking taking on a hypnotic pattern.
Me too.
She found Max's eyes and shot him a helpless look.
He insisted he come, Caroline, Max said softly. I couldn't find it in me to tell him no.
Max combed his hair back out of his eyes with his fingers.
He remembered this place. We never would have found you otherwise.
Her eyes filled, tears squeezing from the swelling eyelids.
Oh, baby.
She laid her cheek on top of Tom's head and held him close.
You did it. You saved my life.
Tom's sobs had stilled, but he allowed the rocking to continue.
I always wanted to kill him. Every time he touched you, I dreamed of killing him.
He raised his head, swallowed, traced his mother's battered face with gentle fingers.
Every time he did this to your face. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry we didn't get here in time.
He dropped a baleful glance on Winters's unconscious body.
I still want to kill him for every time he hurt you.
He looked back up, brushed the backs of his fingers against his mother's cheek. And when he spoke, his young voice was hard, cold, adult.
But I could only kill him once. That would leave me dissatisfied for the hundreds of other times. I'll have to be satisfied knowing every con in jail will know he's a dirty cop.
He took a deep breath, shuddered it out.
And I hope when they find out, they don't leave enough of them to scrape into a baggie.
Caroline stared at her son as if he were a stranger.
I never knew you hated him so much. He hurt you.
It was simply uttered, yet contained the emotional turbulence the boy had kept contained for 14 years. Max closed his eyes and let his chin fall to his chest, unable to keep the images from his mind. A younger Caroline at the mercy of this monster, while her young son was forced to watch, to seethe, to develop a hatred so deep. His own tears came, scalding hot, silent. He felt a hand on his back and lifted his head. Max. David rose to his knees. How badly are you all hurt? Max opened his eyes, blinked hard to see David through his own tears.
Caroline needs a hospital. I could probably use an X-ray or two.
He looked over at Tom, now sitting solid as a stone, holding Caroline's hand as she leaned her body back against the side of the bed.
I think we could all use a counselor. I'll take care of it, David promised, his voice unsteady.
Max grabbed David's shirt, noticed for the first time the front of both his brother's and Lieutenant Ross's shirts were soaked with blood.
Thatcher?
David shook his head.
He's alive. Winters shot him in the chest, but he was wearing Kevlar.
Thank God.
David shook his head.
But one of the other detectives is hurt really bad. Winters got him in the side when he was protecting Thatcher's little boy. The guy's lost a hell of a lot of blood.
Caroline closed her eyes wearily.
There's no hospital around for miles.
David nodded. Detective Lambert and I put him in the back of one of the backup squad cars that just showed up a few minutes ago.
Great timing, Max remarked sardonically. Where the hell have they been?
Lieutenant Ross stepped forward.
They missed the turn, got lost, then lost radio contact in the hills. But they're here now, and they're driving Detective Jolly to a place where a helicopter can meet them and airlift him into Asheville. They left a few minutes ago.
She looked down at Winters's body.
How about him?
Max's lips thinned. He's alive. You beat the shit out of him, Max. David didn't bother to hide the pride in his voice. I got in a few good punches. Caroline did the rest. Ross stared over at Caroline in obvious admiration.
Not bad.
Whoa. David stood and walked across the room to where Max's cane lay on the floor. Way to go, Caroline. He picked up Max's cane and studied the tip, bloody and cracked, and looked back over at Max. Ironic, wouldn't you say? Max lifted the one eyebrow that didn't hurt. The poetic justice of it all hasn't failed to escape me. David shook his head. You could have just said yes, Max. He sobered abruptly. Thank you, Caroline. Caroline struggled, then gave up and let David lift her to her feet.
For what?
For not leaving him. Her hands still gripping his forearms, Caroline leaned her head against David's chest.
I never will.
David held out a hand for Tom, who grasped it and easily pulled himself to his feet, and together the two helped Max to his feet. Max took a look back at Winters, then took Caroline by the hand. Come on, let's go. I don't want to stay in the same room with him another minute. His jaw hardened and his face grew stone cold. I want to finish the job you started more than I want to. He shrugged, unable to form the words.
He said that once,
Caroline said, staying where she stood.